You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, while Toyota South Africa looks to be bringing things into South Africa and things in-house, the World Bank has published a report saying a report titled Unlocking South Africa's Potential. And in that report, they've suggested that South Africa should have an export-led industrial and trade strategy. Now, there are a couple of other things mentioned within the report that our Commissioner at the International Trade and Administration Commission does not necessarily agree with or has some concerns about. I'm joined on the line by Commissioner Ayabonga Qawe to take a look at this and try and unpack this. Commissioner, lovely to speak to you again. It's been quite a while. Let's start with your initial thoughts and reflections on the World Bank report itself.
Well, good evening to you, Jimmy, and good evening to your listeners. Always a great pleasure catching up with you. And I must say just off the bat, Jimmy, that we always certainly welcome multilateral entities like the World Bank, of which South Africa is a member, when they reflect on our context and what ought to be on our policy agenda for reform that can get us to achieve our objectives of inclusive growth. But I think where my concern comes in, Jimmy, is when particular modeling on fundamentally unrealistic and woefully inadequate assumptions is used to beat home a point that some of what you've been discussing there with Andrew Kirby from Toyota is bad policy. So what do I mean by that? This idea that we would want to use trade measures to create deeper value in supply chains domestically is something that the World Bank report frowns upon. They frown upon the use of tariffs. They frown upon the use of local content regulations. And caricature the South African policy position in their modeling to be one that is, as I say in the piece, fundamentally jingoistic, taking us back to a medieval autarky, if I can say that. Now, how do they do this? This is done by modeling an assumption that the authorities would want to increase tariffs across the board. Now, no such thing would ever happen in South Africa. No country or self-respecting country would ever want to do that, precisely for some of the reasons that Andrew had been mentioning to you, that if you take our automotive sector, much of what we export is subject to significant imported content. Similarly, if one looks at some of the main exporters in the largest employer in manufacturing, which is the food and bev sector, some of the componentry, the packaging in some instances, is imported. And so no country would want to not strategically manage those imports, but to suggest that I think the policy is one that is wanting to outlaw imports as if we're under some autarkic experiment, I think is not just a conceptual leap, but is something that I felt important to respond to.
Commissioner, this sounds very much like the World Bank is against us pursuing benefication. And this is something you and I have spoken about at length on and off air around the fact that for us to protect our own economy is nothing wrong. Other countries do it all the time. America has a president running on the principle of America first. China does it. All other economies do it around the world. Why is it suddenly a problem when South Africa looks to do it for themselves?
And this is precisely the kind of doublespeak that is of concern to us. So I think there's that concern that the policy space afforded to many developed countries at the moment is something that we should forego as a developing country. We are told in this report that those local content obligations, commitments to beneficiation, and even the use of tariff instruments in trade are something that is undesirable. But yet, the same report says, you know, we must hang our jackets on an export-led strategy, which I'm certainly in agreement with. But the report fails to engage what some of the objective constraints would be to such an export strategy. For instance, it would ring hollow if I were to reach out to our friends in the aluminium and the steel sector domestically and say, you know what, I want you to export. They'll ask me, well, what do we do with the EU safeguards? What do we do with the Section 232 Trump tariffs that mean we can't export on favorable terms into the United States? What do we do with some of the other protectionism the world over that is making it difficult for some of our products to go into those countries? The agricultural, non-scientific protectionism of the EU that makes it difficult for our citrus, to make its way into the Eurozone. all of these things are objective constraints to any export-led strategy. And yet the treatment of some of these real constraints is sorely absent in the World Bank's analysis. And I think it's rather troubling that there's this kind of engagement with what would confront an export-led strategy, while at the same time, I guess, putting in some throwaway and disparaging remarks over policy positions, by the way, that are not just out of the DTIC or ITAC or wherever, but are policy positions that are an outcome of a process of social dialogue. It was NEDLAC, as you'd know, Jimmy, during the pandemic, that in its economic reconstruction and recovery plan that informed the government's position said, one of the things we want to do is to reduce non-oil imports by a fifth. You don't reduce non-oil imports by a fifth by thinking that you're going to raise tariffs on all imports. At no point did the strategy say that, but the modeling that informs the World Bank report makes that the apex assumption on which the entire model is pegged on. And I think the conclusions then subsequently arrived at kind of need to be engaged with that understanding.
Commissioner, when we look at the conversations or the report itself, is there a distinction that's being made between how the trade strategy should deal with minerals versus finished products? And I bring this up because for the longest time, there's always been, there've never been any complaints about taking the minerals unrefined and undeveloped from all of these countries, from South Africa into other countries, and sending the finished goods back. It only became a problem really when we said, actually, we want to be more involved in the beneficiation process, that this is now suddenly a problem. Is there a distinction in the report around where we should be looking, so to speak?
Well, Jimmy, I was expecting that engagement. I was expecting it because the Inflation Reduction Act, the critical mineral strategy of the EU, are all foregrounding secure supplies and secure access to raw materials. Fundamentally, those linked to technological advances in the developed world, they are foregrounding those at the center of the global economic strategy going forward. So I would have expected some engagement with that. And I must say, having read through the document, I didn't get much of that. And I guess to the second part of your question, which is the South African strategy is to expand the export of value-added or manufactured goods. And there wasn't an engagement at that level as to kind of which are these products and what are the objective constraints that they have to deal with in many of the markets where we send these goods. So it's not just, I guess, mineral value-added goods, but even, as I said, in the agricultural sector, leave the raw citrus. Let's talk about the lemon juice trade measures, for instance, that have been introduced by some developed countries against South African and Brazilian lemon juice imports into their countries. And so I think for me, part of the issue is I've come to expect, certainly from the World Bank and the South African country mission, very nuanced, very pointed engagement, and engagement informed by a pluralism of economic insights and economic literature. And it seems in this case, we certainly didn't see that. And I was quite also concerned by the kind of uncritical fanfare and reception that the report had received from many in the financial media. And I think we felt it to the degree that it had disparaging throwaway remarks about ITAC's work, that it was important to respond. I mean, one of the areas, Jimmy, that is raised here is this view that ITAC has an increasing willingness to offer unwarranted support to the steel and the poultry sector. Now, I find that bizarre. If one takes into account that even many of the member countries of the World Bank are engaged in a process now to deal with structural overcapacity in the steel sector. Similarly, many people would accept that there are significant scale economies of European and even Brazilian producers in grain, in feed, and in poultry that effectively serve as a competitive threat and at times an injurious threat to the domestic industry here in South Africa. That's well set out in not only our investigative work, but even in the multilateral work that has happened. And yet in this report, a lot of that work in trade terms is characterized as kind of unwarranted, unnecessary trade relief that is extended to these sectors ostensibly out of some booty-booty type of arrangement. And we think that that's unacceptable.
Certainly some interesting reflections on the World Bank report. And it's always lovely to catch up with you, Commissioner. We think we'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for the insights and for the time. The Commissioner at the International Trade and Administration Commission, Ayabonga Qawe, sharing his thoughts on the latest World Bank report that suggests that we should be approaching our trade strategy from a different perspective, which in a nutshell sounds like they don't want us to be great.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.